Today I will be reading 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these shall be content.
This morning's title, How Are You? Sometimes when I go around and ask, how are you? Sometimes people will tell me, well, I'm a little bit stressed out, Alan. And I suspect all of us here this morning can identify with that. We are living in some stressful times, and sometimes we get a little stressed out. And the word stress comes from a Latin word which means to be drawn tight. Do any of us know that feeling? A tight feeling sometimes in your neck or shoulders. Perhaps you might feel it in your leg muscles. And our bodies respond in obvious ways to the pressures that we are experiencing on a daily basis. Now, some of those areas that can produce stress would be family life, spiritual life, health, finances, jobs, leisure time, and we probably could go on with that particular list. Have you ever thought of Jesus' life in terms of the stress around him? He was born in peril as a paranoid Herod the Great sought to have him killed. Family stress for him as he grew up in Nazareth. His own brothers did not believe in him prior to the resurrection. The stresses in his public ministry. 40 days of fasting and temptation at the hands of Satan himself. As he moved among the masses of humanity for some 3 years, there were constant pressures of teaching, answering questions, and responding to challenges. And then those final 24 hours of his life. Matthew says he began to be grieved and distressed. Mark says that he was very distressed and troubled. Luke says that he was in agony and his sweat became like drops of blood. Well, what did Jesus teach about all of this? I believe no single text is so critical as the one in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first, we've just sung about that, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen? Hey, I got an amen. There you go. I sometimes have to pull it out of you, but anyway. But I've always thought that each day has enough trouble of its own. First, Jesus urges us to focus on the present. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Live in the present. Focus on what you have control over today. Number two, focus on something productive. Verse 27, and who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? The image here seems to be one of being productive. Worry, anxiety, stress can be destructive. So focus on something productive. Three, Jesus urges us to change our perspective. Verse 25, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? There is more to your life than what you are currently worried about. Jesus wants us to see the more that He's behind all those things that perhaps are worrying us. Four, focus on the provision of the Father. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? We have a Father who knows what we need and who will provide what we need. And then five, Jesus urges us to focus on the purpose of God. Verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. To seek first His kingdom and His righteousness means to pray for our mission efforts. It would mean to be involved, to participate in the various ministries of this church, to encourage someone, to sit down with a non-Christian friend and talk about spiritual matters. Those, I think, would be some of the ways that we would be seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. Well, let me attempt to summarize and pull together the insights Jesus gives us about coping with life's stresses. Number one, rely on God. Life's challenges teach us to rely on God and His divine resources. Now, I'm not suggesting that you will eliminate all the stress from your life. But by surrendering to God, we realize that we are not fighting the battle alone. Psalm 46, verse 1. Luther and Melanchthon's basis for their hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, but the psalm begins, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What an assuring verse from the Psalms. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. So Peter says that we can cast all of our anxiety on Him because He truly cares for us. Number two, enjoy the little blessings of life. Learn to pay attention to the little blessings that life is giving us each day. And that seems to be at the heart of Paul's counsel in the text that was read for us this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 6. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. God, thank you for all of the little blessings in life that perhaps sometimes we may take for granted. Number three, build meaningful relationships. Life is not about things, but it's about people and the relationships that we can build with them. And we human beings really do need each other. Paul reminds us in Galatians 6 and verse 2, to bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And so, if we have an opportunity to help someone bear a burden, then we, as Paul says here, are fulfilling the very law of Christ. And then, cultivate a sense of humor. People who succeed in life tend to have a great sense of humor. You remember what Ronald Reagan said when he was shot back in 1981? He said, "Honey, I forgot to duck." That's what he told Nancy at the hospital. And to the surgeons who were about to operate on him, he said, "Please tell me you're Republicans." So, was still trying to maintain some, you know, sense of humor, but developing a sense of humor. I remember running into another gentleman at Providence Hospital. He was using a cane and he was moving very slowly. And we stopped and talked for just a minute. And I told him that I appreciated his effort in getting out and visiting a loved one who was there in the hospital. And he said to me, "Well, to be quite honest, I would rather be seen than viewed." And I said to him, "Good point." Didn't know exactly how to respond, but I thought, hey, that makes some sense. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Now, I'm not meaning to suggest that there are people who have a broken spirit and have reasons for that. But I also want to heed what he said in the first part of that verse, that a joyful heart is good medicine. For that medicine, you don't need a child-proof cap, do you? I mean, that's one you can just take off and take anytime. And then number five, we've got to learn to be flexible. Learn to be flexible. When your plans change for whatever reasons, look for a way to use your new situation constructively. I see this illustrated in Acts chapter 16 as Paul started his second missionary journey. But they pass through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. It seems to me that that's perhaps what Paul and his associates wanted to do. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So Paul had to learn some flexibility, didn't he? He wanted to go here. No, I don't want you to go there. Well, let's try this one. No, let's not go there. And then he has the vision. "Please come over to Macedonia. We need your help." And so Paul, being led by the Spirit of God in that situation, went into Macedonia and there preached, you know, the gospel And of course, then came into contact with Lydia, who became that first convert on European soil. Number six, take charge of your life by the power and grace of God. When you feel the drawn tight effects of stress in your life, deal with it, but it may mean doing something. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. We will never completely get away from stress on planet Earth. Jesus confirmed that, didn't he, in John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. What a very honest, realistic statement that Jesus made to his disciples. In this world you will have peace, but in this world you will have tribulation. But take courage. One translation is, but take cheer, or cheer on, cheer up, because I have overcome the world. What this world dishes out does not have to destroy us. With the mind of Christ to inform ours, we can share in his victory over whatever the world throws at us. So how are you? Stress out a little bit? Well, I think here are some practical ways, and I think, again, that passage from Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus deals with it, and three times he says in those verses, do not worry, do not worry, do not be worried. That's not easy. I'm not saying that's easy. That's a real challenge. But we got to focus on some of those things that I think Jesus suggested that we focus on. We're going to sing our song of encouragement here in just a moment. And if there's anyone here today who is ready to respond to the gospel of Christ through faith, repentance, baptism, we want to encourage you to come and to take that decisive step this morning. If there's any one here who desires the prayers of the congregation, we're here to pray with you and to pray for you. And certainly that is one of the ways that we deal with the stress that comes in our life, is by taking those things to God in prayer. Where Peter said, casting all your anxiety on him because he truly cares for you. And so if there's any way that we can serve you this morning, would you please let us know as we stand together and sing our song of encouragement.